Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the fine folks at the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks so much for joining us once again this week. On today's podcast, we'll talk with Spencer Wilson, the proud owner of L&R LLC. We'll also hear from Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose McKinney & Evans, as well as the Midwest Hemp Council President, Justin Swanson. But first, let's get the program started with Spencer Wilson. Spencer, thanks for joining us, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic, Spencer. Thanks for joining us. Now, with L&R, you're involved with hemp processing and CBD oil production. Tell us how you got involved with CBD and hemp.
When we first moved to Michigan in 2014, we moved up there because we actually had a dog that was epileptic. Really similar to a lot of the other families in early 2014 when the CBD fad came out, it wasn't available here at home. And so actually forced to look at another state that was still close by so that we could still have our family ties. And it seemed like Michigan was the place to go. And so when we went up there, we were able to get CBD for our dog. And we went from having about 60 seizures a day to having maybe one every 65 days. So,
oh my goodness.
To me, that... Yeah, it really instilled what it could mean for other families. And to me, that's what it's about.
And what brought you back to Indiana, and more specifically, the hemp business?
We were forced to leave home, and now we were looking at it as CBD and hemp rolls around back here in Indiana. We look at that as a time that we have to go home and provide our services or our abilities, our talents for Hoosiers. We want to make sure that we've got a product that goes into a store that's reputable, that people know what it is every time, that's consistent. We should all have a standard where on the bottle, if it says 750 milligrams CBD, then there should be 750 milligrams of CBD. And so with that, we've just taken that as an opportunity to show we do hold that standard still. And we're doing this in Michigan, where we actually print a label. We put the QR code on there that shows the test results. And then you're able to scan that and see the test results so you can actually see what's in the product. We're doing that in Michigan, where now that is a law here in Indiana, but we were doing it before it was a law.
And it seems like that people that are most devoted to hemp and CBD are folks that have had family members that have benefited from it when the medical community really couldn't solve their problem. But I believe you're the first one I've spoken to that was motivated because of your family pet. And that's a great story. But the reality of 60 seizures a day without a solution would likely have warranted putting putting her to sleep, which is never something a pet owner really wants to do if there's a possible alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. That was kind of the option the vet gave us was, you want to put her down? And it's like, do you put your family members down just because they're ill?
Right, right.
And it's like, what can we do to help her? And the doctor was like, phenobarbital. The vet was phenobarbital. And we started looking into phenobarbital, and yeah, you do need it, but the side effects from phenobarbital, if you quit taking it, you'll have seizures and die. Mm. And it's like, well, we're back at square one.
Right, right.
And you start looking into, at the time, the Charlotte's Web was a big deal. And we reached out to a couple families also that were in Indiana that were looking to make that pilgrimage out to Colorado. And to us, it just wasn't doable because we wanted to stay, you know, a little bit closer to families. And that's why Michigan was the solid option for us.
And you talk about bad products out there. In this day and age where it's easy to just order something off the internet and have it at your doorstep in 2 days, sometimes the local aspect gets lost. And when we talk about bad products and products that with no labeling or no restrictions, and enforcement on that labeling. Somebody that does need CBD oil or CBD products, and they'll order them from, you know, a company in California, Colorado, something like that, and they get a bad product or a product that doesn't help them at all, they may never turn back to CBD. So that's right. Certainly a disservice to the end users.
Absolutely. And then there's other aspects where they have hemp oil or cannabis or CBD oil, but their whole thing is to recruit more people to work underneath them. And it's like, well, that's a network marketing, which, I mean, that's your thing. I'm all for people doing that. But this is a product that needs to be a good, solid product, where a lot of those network marketings are selling a product that's heavily diluted. And they're really just trying to find recruiters and people to work underneath them and not necessarily selling a good product, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And again, we're speaking with Spencer Wilson, the owner of LNR LLC, and that's spelled LNAR LLC. You guys are branching out into the retail outlets as well, and that creates, in a day and age where everything is going mail order and going ordering online, you guys are putting retail places out there, which brings up a unique situation in that the education that people can get in your stores versus online. For instance, even somebody having a sample product of CBD oil, you know, do you take a teaspoon? Do you take the whole bottle? Do you down it? Can you overdose from it? Will it show up on blood test on a THC test? Things like that. That, you know, the internet, of course, does not always provide the most accurate information. believe it or not. So I assume that is the big advantage you guys have with your retail outlets, is the educational value of them.
Yeah, we've been working with Elite Health and Wellness to make sure that we're able to get into that store. And with that store, we're really trying to push for a platform that we can educate. Elite Health and Wellness is a store down in Mooresville, as well as up in McCordsville, which one's on the southwest side and one's on the northeast side. And the guys there have been great. They make sure that we have an open door for open communication. If we have questions, or if they have somebody that walks in and they've got a question about a product that we have on the shelf, those guys have my cell phone number. They call us. We get right in touch. And I say all this with, we're actually on the CBD Expo. We're on three of the panels there is considered an expert for processing, handling, and educating the benefits of CBD. So it makes it really cool that these guys feel comfortable enough to call me and help educate people. Over the next couple months, I know those guys are working on actually putting together a platform where people can come, sit down, have questions and interaction, and really try to teach people, because, like I said, there's just a lot of misconception out there.
And again, that is Elite Health and Wellness, and you can find them on Facebook. And you said you've got a couple locations, certainly Mooresville. I see the ads all the time. They're doing a great job of marketing and getting the word out. And a great place for people to go and get that education. But let me ask you, as just a general person out here, I don't suffer from epilepsy. I have no major medical issues or what have you. How would I benefit from just going out and taking CBD?
So CBD... There's a system inside of our bodies, and it's called the endocannabinoid system. A lot of people refer to it as the ECS. And what it does is it's our homeostasis system. It literally runs in our nervous system. It runs in our bones. It runs in our muscles. It runs entirely throughout our body. And it's how we heal. It's how we fight off. And it's how we centralize. People hear about, you want to create a central balance in your body, and people think that you start talking to spirits or whatever energies, however you want to take it. Your body has to stay balanced. Your body and your mind, your soul, all have to be one in order to work properly. And CBD is non-psychoactive, so it doesn't affect your thought, doesn't affect how you function, it doesn't affect how you are as a person, but it is psychotropic, which means that it affects how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
It is proven to show that it makes you in a better mood. Just by itself, it puts you in a better mood. But then on top of that, you're able to take it as a preventative. look at all the stuff that we eat. We eat corn, we eat soy, we eat wheat. These are all fillers. They're cheap fillers that have all, over time, replaced hemp. And when we first came to this country with, Washington, he had it set so that every farmer, as a law, grew hemp. Not so that we smoked it. Mm-hmm. He did it so that we fed it to our livestock. And in turn, when we eat our livestock, we are getting the cannabinoids that were out there. And now we're able to stimulate our homeostasis system. Look at autistic kids in general. Like when I was born, I'm 32 years old. When I was born, it was 1 in 6,000 kids were autistic, and now it's like 1 in 60. That's because of what we eat. A lot of these autistic syndromes are autoimmune, neurological, directly related to our body attacking itself because it doesn't know what it is anymore. And it's because we're eating something that's irregular. And then when we put that irregular into us, our body takes it, uses it as food and energy, and then creates irregular cells. Well, if you look at that's cancer. So this really comes down to us making sure that we have our farmers support, that we support our farmers and know that there's a place for them to do this where they've got an outlet where we can take that product and get it to people that need it and also stimulate the economy in the process.
Spencer, it's been a great conversation here, picked up a lot of information. And again, it's the education we need to get out there. And that's what the Midwest Hemp Council is trying to do. It's what folks like you are trying to do. And most of the people involved in this are trying to help people, but there are sharks Absolutely. Out there. And that's why people need to do their homework and listen to podcasts like this and find out who's legitimate and who's not.
Thank you. Thank you. Greatly appreciate that.
And again, Spencer Wilson. Spencer, we appreciate it. We definitely need to get you back on the program sometime soon.
Absolutely. I look forward to it and would love to. I'd be honored.
All right. As we continue on, we'll speak with Justin Swanson, Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose, McKinney & Evans. Justin, once again, how you doing this evening?
I'm great, Jason. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Coming off a great night there of hemp celebration, the Hemp Victory Tour at the Indiana Historical Museum last night. A very nice public affair.
Yeah, that was. We really upped our game up. As an association, and we had well over 100 people there, and really thankful that a handful of our strongest supporters from legislators were able to attend with. Representative Chris Judy out of Fort Wayne, Senator Toms out of Southern Indiana, and Senator Head out of Logansport. And if you guys recall, Senator Head is a legislator who carried the bill not only this year and got it across the finish line, but actually worked quite a bit on it last year where it got stalled on second reading towards the end of session. So he's been really great to work with, and it was really just a night to help show our appreciation of the legislators who are willing to take an issue and really get to know the issue rather than kind of miss and dive down into the facts of the issue.
Well, and it was also great to see everybody in one spot in one night that has been leading this charge for the legalization of hemp in Indiana. So it was really great to get everybody in the same room to be able to be recognized for everything, especially Jamie Campbell Petty, for everything they've done and all the sacrifices everybody's made to make this possible.
Yeah, and I always say, people ask me how I got involved in this, and I always just say I blame Jamie for it. I don't think there's really anyone in the room there last night that wouldn't that would be there without Jamie's guidance and support and availability just to help guide people through this industry. You know, and as you mentioned, it was nice to have, we had everyone there from pretty much almost probably the broadest sector of the industry represented last night. We had plastic recycling companies there. We had some clone guys there. We had some guys from the escrow service business to make sure if you're doing a deal, you know, they can provide you a safe service. So it's really neat from my perspective to see some of the more institutionalized industries that have nothing to do with hemp who are starting to realize that, hey, my business model might provide a lot of value to the folks in the hemp world.
And for anybody that did miss last night's festivities, there are more events coming up in the next couple of months, and they can stay updated by going to the website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, to get that information. We've got field days coming up, all kinds of neat stuff. So if you haven't had a chance to get involved, you certainly still have time to do so. Things are just getting started, so we encourage everybody to check that out. Now, Justin, tell us what updates do we have on the federal level from the FDA?
So probably to the shock of nobody, we're still waiting on the feds to come out with some critical guidance for the industry, in particular from the FDA and the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture. In terms of the FDA, they had their first public hearing on CBD back on May 31st. They had well over 100 speakers, and I know the submitted comments got up to hit over 3,500 before they closed the comment deadline, which closed yesterday. And the FDA kind of came out with a statement saying we're going to be hopeful that we can report on our progress around the end of summer or early fall. Now, some people are interpreting that as we're going to have clear guidance by then. I sincerely doubt that. I think we still have a long way to go to get FDA to at least give more guidance to companies who are operating in the CBD ingestible and topical space.
So will any of these questions, do you anticipate those being answered before then, or are they taking all of these questions, putting them into a bowl, and then basically putting it into a form that everybody can understand and then releasing that?
Yeah, and I can't really say what they're going to do. You know, it seems like from my read is kind of just what you said, is they're going to summarize everything. And you got to remember their roles. I think they acknowledge some of the benefits of CBD out there that are proven through scientific research. But, you know, their duty as a federal agency is to protect consumers. So they do need to walk a fine line on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have these have some clear guidance by the end of 2019 would be a big win.
All right. Excellent. Now let's talk about the federal level from the USDA. What kind of updates do we have there?
So this is probably the most important part. You know, if I had to pick, USDA is also very critical to, more specifically to our farmers here in Indiana and I guess across the country. USDA is required to promulgate rules on, you know, what states need to have in their regulatory plan. So there may be an opportunity, which could be good or bad, to go back to the State House next year and really model our state laws off of the federal rules if we needed to. Or at the very least, make sure we don't have any conflicts with what they want versus what we're doing here in Indiana.
And what are the implications for Indiana with these USDA regulations?
Well, I just think, one, we're going to continue to have more established industries like banking become more and more comfortable with hemp and dealing with investors and other farmers who are in the hemp space. So I think that's going to be great, and it's also really going to help, I think, with transportation issues. Interstate commerce, I think, is going to hopefully get cleared up on basically ways that you can protect yourself when you're transporting hemp biomass or other products through different states.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'll be really good, and we're really excited for USDA to release these rules so we can dig into them and figure out if anything we need to do.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice if the truck drivers and couriers out there don't have to worry about being stopped somewhere in the middle of Iowa and being thrown in jail because they've got a load of hemp.
Yeah, exactly. And that's only the only way that's going to get mitigated is just when we have clear guidance like this from the feds. And you know, we've said from day one, and this continues to be our main priority, it's just education. A lot of us in this industry kind of get tunnel vision and assume that everyone knows what we know or they're that familiar with the hemp plant, and its education is still an absolutely critical part of making sure we have a thriving industry here in Indiana and the Midwest.
And again, we're speaking with Justin Swanson, Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group and of counsel at Bose, McKinney & Evans. Justin, talk about some of the new regulatory updates for Indiana.
So like it says on our website, we have our first Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee scheduled for August 1st from 9 to noon out in Hendricks County. So we're really excited about that. And really, we fought pretty hard during session to make sure that we had a committee of stakeholders who are actively participating in the market and know what it takes to do things right. So we're really proud that we got that. Midwest Hemp Council does have a seat on that committee. And really what we're, our whole goal here is to make sure that we maintain the integrity of our market here in Indiana, while also balancing that with making sure we're giving our farmers the benefit of the doubt. Meaning we don't want to, go in and I guess burn down a field over a small technicality. Mm-hmm. And I think our regulators are doing an awesome job of one, the education piece, and two, also making sure we have a regulatory structure that's set up that's actually going to encourage farmers to take a look at this crop again.
And is there a real need for folks to show up at this meeting, or, you know, should they wait to get the information later?
It's if you want to spend spend time with us, absolutely. That's one thing we're going to do once we get. I'm expecting some kind of at least a first draft of a regulatory structure on that day. So it'll, you know, we'll spend the, I think the morning digging through them, and then we can take them back with us and really dig into what we like, what we don't like, and some areas of improvements for the regulations. So if you if people can't make it, we're going to have a nice summary for everybody on what happened and where we think it's going.
And again, this is August 1st from 9 a.m. until noon, and that's at the Hendricks County Fairgrounds Complex in Danville, Indiana. And again, that's posted on the MidwestHempCouncil.com website as well, so folks can go there and get more information, click the link, and find out a little bit more about that. Justin, you were talking last night. We had something, actually last week, Don Robinson talked about it. The longitude and latitude markings of some of the fields here in Indiana, the hemp fields, we've already had an issue where a couple fields have been off base, meaning not where they're supposed to be. The law enforcement stepped in, thought it was a marijuana crop. So that obviously caused some problems, something that hemp farmers out there need to be very, very concerned about.
And that's absolutely right, Jason. And again, I can't give enough props to our regulators. I mean, they've hit the ground running on very limited resources and manpower. It sounds like Midwest Hemp Council. But they've done a great job of working with farmers. And, you know, I think they understand that with the weather, I think a lot of farmers had to make changes to their plans. And so that kind of made it more difficult to keep up. And two, I think it's just a matter of, you know, some of these farmers who are taking the risk of growing this year have a lot on their plate, and it's just sometimes hard to keep up with where your plots are.
And people cannot say that they don't have an opportunity to reach out and get that information. Again, we have information on the Midwest Hemp Council website. Folks are easy to get a hold of. Don Robinson answers his phone, the seed commissioner. So there's really no excuse for not having that information if you're really going full force with and moving forward with planting that hemp.
That's exactly right, and I think our regulators have proven that they are more than willing to work with folks, and they really want to see farmers be successful in this space.
All right, Justin, is there anything else we need to hit on this week that we haven't touched base with?
So I wanted to just real quick on so that the state chemist and seed commissioner updated their application, and it's actually really good news for farmers because they're giving, as we talked about earlier, giving farmers the benefit of the doubt. So if you read the application now, what they're essentially saying is one, it's my understanding they're interpreting the 0.3% THC threshold level as 0.3999. So they're giving you a couple extra decimals, which may not seem like a lot, but that could mean the difference between making it or breaking it for a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great to see. Well, also what I'm really, really excited about is essentially they're saying anything that's above 0.399 but below 1% THC, you're going to have an opportunity to enter into a corrective action plan with the seed commissioner. And that's really, in my opinion, going to drive a lot of the research and a lot of R&D in this space. So let's say you have a crop that came in at 0.5% THC. You're going to do your due diligence, notify the regulator, and, you know, I've been contacted by a couple guys who are looking at THC mitigation processes. Maybe you're growing that, growing it for CBD and it didn't turn out great and you got a fiber processor who's interested in it. I think our seed commissioner is open to diverting some of that hot, quote unquote, hot crop.
Mm-hmm.
To an end user where it's not going to be put, it's not going to be used as an ingestible to the human body. So, you know, whether it's going to a recycling plant or, you know, into a car door, that kind of thing. It's really allowing the market to figure out what's the best use for this product that we have on hand right now.
And at what point are they able to start testing for the THC levels?
So they are, the seed commissioner's asking for notification on, I guess, two answers, Jason. Mm-hmm. One is on the pre-harvest testing. They want at least a 30-day notice before you're going to harvest, so that way they can come out and test. But they typically will come out once, maybe twice, to come and just do a quick field check, whether it's just eyeballing it or actually taking samples from the plants for the testing.
And with over 100 licenses out there for outdoor growing, that's a lot of work.
It is, and that's why, you know, we as an industry need to make it as easy as possible for them and do it the right way. Whether it be record keeping or just ensuring that your file that they have on record is accurate and up to date.
All right. Once again, Justin Swanson, Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group and of counsel at Bose McKinney and Evans, also the president of the Midwest Hemp Council. Justin, anything else we need to hit on?
I think that's about it, Jason.
Excellent.
Look forward to seeing everyone at the field days.
All right, fantastic. And again, they can get information on that by, once again, going to the website. Justin, we do appreciate it, as always, some good information there, and we'll look forward to having you back soon.
Great. Thanks, Jason.
All right. All right, that's going to do it for our show this week. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for joining us. Check back next Thursday afternoon for another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the fine folks at the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose McKinney and Evans. So long, everybody.